Welcome back to the Gospel Fantasy Football Show. I hope you guys have had a great week. We have a lot to talk about, breaking down again the NFC East this week with the Commanders and the Giants. I am your Jose, the Fantasy Football Fiend, and I have my guy, Young Vander, the Fantasy Nostradamus. How at the people?
Hey, what's going on out there?
Yo, so remember, you guys can catch us on YouTube, the Gospel STP, on YouTube at the Gospel STP. And if you haven't joined the Facebook group yet, go ahead and do that. You are doing yourself a disservice by not giving yourself access to all the information, all the fun that we have on the Facebook group. That's the Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. With that being said, let's go ahead and hop right into the news. Not a whole lot going on. A few things have been spoken on the offseason. Right now, it's been stated that over there in New York, Russell Wilson is entrenched atop of the depth chart in the quarterback position. Par for the course at this point in time, or the fact that they're speaking on it at all, does that give you any type of a feeling that Dart isn't in the moment showing them what they thought they would see, or nothing really to see here just yet, too early?
Nah, I mean, Russell was born in to be the starter. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be the long-term starter. But he pretty much was born as a bridge, you know, to, you know, maybe mentor the younger guy that comes in and that nature. And at the same time, maybe win some football games. So there's really no surprise here. I look for him to be the starter most of the season, unless they just, you know, bombing it. And then maybe after a bye week or something like that, they probably insert a guy like Dart. But there's not really to see here.
Dak is moving around well at OTA, so it looks like Dallas won't have any worries there. Quarterback Joe Burrow is enjoying a healthy offseason for the first time in a little while, so that may get the Bengals off to the hot start that they're going to need before the, you know, the question marks start being drawn as far as the expectations versus the ceiling that the Bengals as a group have reached. Normally, the first thing to go, well, the particular group of players that they have, they're paying too much for any of them to go. So the coach will be the first one to go if things don't end up working out well this year for the Bengals. That'll be interesting to see. James Cook, not at voluntary OTAs. You know, he has that contract thing going on right now. So Marshawn Lloyd practicing without restrictions. So the Green Bay running back should be available. Tony Pollard, the coaches are kind of talking him up again, but they're saying that it'll still be a split backfield. They envision it possibly being split straight down the middle, which that's kind of how they envisioned it last year. But Pollard still had his moments for sure. And both Pollard and Spears, they have their injury history, so not overloading them with carries could actually end up being the best thing for both. But how do you think that backfield ends up flushing out, and could they possibly be value picks based on where you can get them? I mean, you can pretty much get that whole backfield if you went zero RB without even having to worry about, you know, who was going to be available to you.
Some other Cowboy backfield, right?
Nah, for Tennessee.
Tennessee backfield.
Tony Pollard and Spears.
Yeah, at this moment, I mean, I think last year gave us an example of how it's going to plan out. I think Pollard's going to get the first, of course, and Spears will be sprinkled in here and there. But in my opinion, I think this backfield is one you kind of want to avoid because it's just too choppy. You know, you got a lot of backfields that do operate with two running backs, but this one doesn't seem to move as smoothly. Maybe with the better quarterback play, things will change. So that's something you have to just watch and see how that turns out. But of course, probably be the guy to own, and Spears at this point is just a handcuff. He's just like, you know, so I don't think there's anything more than that.
A little bit of news going on in the wonderful world of wide receivers. Jalen Coker, the young wide receiver there in Carolina, he's dealing with an injury, soft tissue injury. Not exactly known exactly what it is, but he was off to the side there. Xavier Leggett was his teammate, was impressing in camp, and it looks like he is taking a little bit of a step forward. The quote is big and fast, and it's a lot easier to play at a faster pace when you have a better grasp of what's going on around you. So Do you think he's going to take any type of a step forward? Or if he doesn't take a step forward, who do you think does in that Carolina passing offense?
Well, initially they were saying this was going to be his team. Like, he was going to be the guy that kind of, you know, step into that wide receiver one role. But, you know, a lot of people got thrown off with the kind of draft that he had when you draft the wide receiver in the first round. And then now you're hearing things like the late draft pick, Jimmy Horn, who's been wowing people in camp. So, like, he's playing better than the first round draft pick, right? So,
yeah.
At the same time, you brought in Hunter Renfrow, right? So it seems like a carousel of things. I'm going to call it wide receiver by committee at this point.
Okay.
So I think Leggett probably will have some of his, have some games here and there. But as far as really honing in on somebody in this offense, wide receiver wise, I don't know if that's an option, honestly, because you still have Thielen in the building. I know he's older, but he still went on the field. He seems to be a favorite of Bryce Young, if you watch some of the games. So who knows? It's just a carousel. And with that being said, I'm just going to stay far away from these guys.
I mean, it's a great problem to have in the real world of NFL, not so much in fantasy. Stephon Diggs is practicing without a knee brace. He doesn't seem to have any limitations. Mm-hmm. Going into day three of OTAs, Diggs is he's looking like he's a dog, man. It's like he tore that ACL. Remember, it was October, I want to say it was. Mm-hmm. But he's 31 years old, tore an ACL, and not even wearing a brace in OTAs. We're 100 days away from the start of the season, but he doesn't seem to have any issues already. So how optimistic should the Patriots be that they have the Stephon Diggs that they were hoping they were going to have when they paid for him?
I think he'd be fine. I mean, an ACL injury is not what it used to be. You know, back in the day, if you tore the ACL, your career was done. But these are new surgeries and new doctors and new nutrition and new technology. Those days are gone. And also, if you're a fast healer, that helps as well. But I watched some of the tape, some of the film. I mean, he looks explosive. Looks good to me. I'm not going to really, you know, pay attention to the age here. I think he can be the Stephon of old. My thing is, how is this offense going to implement him and use him? That's my thing. And being that McDaniels, he seemed to have a pretty good history when it comes to wide receiver usage in the past. We've seen guys like Brandon Lloyd. You mean, if you recall a guy like that in Denver that went off in that offense, right? So it's not always that slot receiver like some people think when they think about the Patriots way. But we also can see the outside guy, the X, do well, like a Brandon Lloyd in the same offense. So I'm thinking Diggs is a sneaky, I want to say he's going to probably finish wide receiver too. But where he's getting drafted at is probably, you know, I think he's a value play, honestly.
As far as dynasty is concerned, buy, sell, or keep, trade, cut?
I'm going to keep, because, and the reason why, I think you're not going to get the value that he can actually put out there for you due to the injury, due to the age in a dynasty. Who's ever trying to buy is going to really lowball you. So I'm not taking no third round picks, nothing like that for this guy. I think you're better off just keeping them and just enjoy that production and just take this one to the door.
Luther Burden is out with a soft tissue injury, undisclosed, not anywhere close to the season, so they don't really have to disclose injuries until basically Vegas can be affected. This is basically how it works. Terry McLaurin. Now, we may have a bit of a contract issue coming up here. He's not in attendance for voluntary offseason workouts. We know the type of season that he had last year, and we know what things looked like prior to him having a quarterback and people thinking it was a Terry issue. It's never been a Terry issue. Terry made several of those quarterbacks look a whole lot better than they would have otherwise looked. Is he well within his rights to hold out until being compensated? Or is this a let's do it again and then talk type of situation?
For who now? I'm sorry.
For Scary Terry.
Oh, man. How many years is left on his contract?
I want to say he's going into the last year of his contract.
yeah, it's time to get one done. That's how I feel about it, right? As of late, you see a lot of guys, they want to get their money with 2 years remaining. And
so he had a 3 year. It was a 3 year, $68 million.
Yeah.
And he's going into the final year of that.
Yeah, I think it's time for him to get paid again. Lucky for him, right? But the thing is this, I think he needs to show up, show his face and get paid, not be one of those holdout guys and get paid. I think that would be good for the ownership, this new regime. Now we're going to see how they treat the players, because everybody's watching at this point. This is new ownership, and now we're about to see if you do right by your players and things of that nature. So I think he should do his job and actually show up, but just, you know, go through the negotiations and hold in, not hold out. You know, you see a lot of guys do that. They hold in. But yeah, if he got 1 year left, it's time to re-up.
And I would almost say for him, it would be off brand if he did hold out. I just, business is business, but I just don't see him doing that. The other piece of that puzzle too is Washington is in a perfect position to be able to pay him and pay him on the front end of the contract. So that way, when it's time to pay Daniels, Terry may be upset about it, but we've already paid you and we're not going to trade you because we got you signed for the next however long on the cheap based on paying you up front. So that's something else that they can, you know, attempt to look at doing. But that pretty much wraps up the news. Not a whole lot going on. Things will become a lot more interesting here in the weeks to come. Like I said, we are 100 days away from the season. And man, oh man, those days will fly by faster than you can imagine. We are going to hop right into the main topic of the show for today, which is the NFC East. We did Dallas and the Eagles last week. Kind of just taking a look at their fantasy prognosis for the year now that the draft is done, now that most of the wheeling and dealing is done. But before we get into that, I did want to ask you, when do you foresee the second wave or last wave, if you will, of free agency and trades go down before we really start getting into camps and people start kind of, you know, nailing things down? Because there's several names out there of players that are definitely worthy of being on rosters, but aren't yet.
Yeah, I think June 1st is the magic number, right? I think the June 1st cuts is that first wave you're going to start seeing. So I'm going to say that's the first wave. The next wave probably won't be until you're a little deeper into camp.
And that's normally injury-based and stuff like that? Filling holes?
Yeah, injury-based. And you got those veterans that just don't want to be in mini camp.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, things like that. I mean, but I'm going to say June 1st is when you're going to first start seeing a few things. Because I think it's after one of these dates that
it changes the salary cap hit.
Yeah.
After June 1st.
Yeah, so June 1st would be the initial, I think, we're going to start seeing a little bit more movement, especially with teams like the Steelers. No one knows what's going on over there with the quarterback situation, so.
Oh, that is actually something else that I swear, two pieces of that same pie. I saw that Kirk Cousins was holding out OTAs for the Falcons, but I also saw that trade talks were heating up as far as that situation was concerned. Don't know which team is heating up with, but then I also saw where things are what they have been and will be until they aren't, unless Aaron Rodgers says so, as far as Pittsburgh is concerned. But at this point, some notable names are starting to speak up and kind of voice their frustration with the way Pittsburgh is kind of handling this situation right now. And it's like, the worst thing that could happen for Pittsburgh, best or worst, whether they get Aaron Rodgers or they don't, if they don't actually do something this season other than quote unquote not lose, I think you're going to start being in a scenario where that particular locker room has heard the sermon one too many times, and it's time for all parties involved and all things considered to kind of pull a Andy Reid situation in Philly and maybe have similar or better success. I mean, there's some teams out there right now that are kind of set to win, but don't have a coach.
Right.
Wouldn't it be nice for Tomlin to be able to say, well, I had to deal with this situation due to things that were out of my control, but I can choose this. I can choose my next situation and who my quarterback is going to be, who my GM is going to be, et cetera, et cetera. I would be excited to see that from Mike Tomlin if he wanted to go in that direction. But yeah, we're almost at the point where you have to assume that you've maximized what you can do. And if that's simply not losing, then you aren't doing yourself or the team any favors at this point.
All right.
So let's go ahead and hop into the NFC East. I guess we'll start out with the Giants. We spoke on their quarterback situation a little bit earlier with Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart, and right now it seems that Wilson is going to be the guy, at least going into the season. Does that help the wide receiver situation as far as neighbors is concerned? Is it pretty much it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, he's going to get similar production just based on his talent? Or what are we looking at as far as the passing game is concerned?
I think it's still a boost to neighbors. I don't think it really matters per se at this moment who the quarterback is. They seem like they're going to force feed this guy. But Russ' skill set fits his skill set. I mean, Russ will push the ball down the field.
Yeah.
He throws a better ball than Daniel Jones or Danny DeVito or not that. Is it Tommy DeVito? I'm sorry.
Tommy DeVito.
Danny DeVito, right? Tommy DeVito, any of these kind of guys like that. So I think it's a boost. It's a small boost, but it's still a boost nonetheless for a guy like Neighbors. So I still love him as a high wide receiver one due to the, you know, even Russ being at quarterback. So I'm fine with that.
Now, as far as the other wide receivers are concerned,
yep.
Are there any that are even on the radar for you outside of Neighbors that can kind of be a sneaky play, or is maybe Theo Dotson at tight end? What are we looking at as some of the plays that could happen? I know right now we're kind of in dynasty season, if you will, so maybe there's some futures there, if you will, in anything that is just beyond the surface that people might want to take a look at there?
Now, I want to see how it pans out, right? But a guy I've been kind of having my eyes on, and again, like I say, due to the skill set of Russell Wilson, was the kid Hyatt. I think he's like a second-year wide receiver out of Tennessee.
Yeah, Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah.
He's right now on the depth chart behind Darius Slayton there.
Yeah, so.
But Slayton is no stranger to injury.
Right, so he's a guy I'm kind of, you know, he didn't quite hit the ground running like some may have thought in the offseason. They say he did, packed on some weight. Fast kid. He was supposed to run a 4.2 at the combine, but didn't. And due to his skill set, being able to stretch the field, he could be a dark horse sleeper, if you may say, in this offense. I just want to see if he get the opportunity. But due to his skill set and what Russ likes to do, it's pretty much a match made in heaven, honestly. It's kind of like Tyler Lockett. You know what I'm saying? He has that DeSean Jackson. He has that kind of ball game where he's just, you know, deep vertical or, you know, deep post. Those kind of routes he's killing on, and I think that fits what Russ like to do. So he'd be the guy I'm thinking as a possible sleeper that nobody's probably really paying attention to that can very maybe come in and pay dividends.
The guy that I would be paying attention to that's already proven it and people still aren't paying attention is Wandale Robinson. He's the safety valve, if you will.
Mm.
He's going to be your Wes Welker, your Julian Edelman, your quintessential steady Eddie. Even if you don't get a touchdown, he'll never tank your week unless he gets hurt type of a guy. Like, that's the type of a guy that you have there. Your Pop Douglas, like from the Patriots. Guys that don't have the sexiest names. However, they put up points on a weekly base and beautiful, beautiful options to put there in the flex spot. So that would be a guy that you could probably trade for a bag of chips. Nobody's really blocking him all like that. And he's in a better situation than he was quarterback-wise, no matter if it's Russell or Dart. So Wandale Robinson is a guy that, if available to you, I might take a look at him, especially, well, I won't even say especially. This is only in PPR leagues. So outside of that, Tyrone Tracy, he's a guy that, well, the backfield in general, I'm interested to see how that flushes out. You got Tracy, you got Devin Singletary, you got Cam Scatterbowl. What are we looking at here?
It's a wait and see, right? Oh, man. Oh, we've seen what Tracy does, what he can be. He does put it on the carpet a good bit. The former wide receiver, right, playing running back. Scatterbowl is looking like he could be the short yardage. I'm looking for that. So I'm going to say he's probably going to be a touchdown-dependent running back. But, again, I think it'll be carousel. We don't really know. But in my opinion, I think Tracy would probably be more the third-down receiving style back. And I think in the short yardage, Scatterbowl would probably be the guy that comes in. So he can maybe create some value.
You said Tracy would be the first down back?
Third down.
So who's the first?
Well, I think this is my opinion. I think the first two downs will really depend on down and distance. And I think the third down, it'd really be Tracy Duca. He's a former wide receiver. He's the best pass catcher in the backfield that they have. So say, for instance, if it's first and five or first, even though it's first down, you're on the 5-yard line, I think you can see Scatterbowl. You know what I mean? So I just think it depends on the down and distance, where they're at on the field, whether who goes on the field on first and second down. But I just think on third down, it'd probably be just Tracy specifically due to his, you know, good pass catching. But in short yardage, I think Scatterbowl could be the guy. So he may be of value in this backfield. Maybe like you've seen a Lindale White back in the day when he's playing with Chris Johnson, where he wasn't getting all the yards, but he was getting most of the touchdowns, right? So even double digit.
It'll be interesting how to use him, because he can catch the ball. He can throw the ball. Like he's a Swiss Army knife. I can see with that particular head coach, I can see them getting kind of cute in that red zone and having almost what amounts to a triple option type of opportunity with him being back there. I know this is going back several years now, but he's your quintessential. What do you call it? Come on, man, help me out. Your running back, the fake quarterback thing. What was it? What's the name of it?
Wildcat.
Yeah. Wildcat. Okay. If they wanted to have a couple of Wildcat packages, if they wanted to take what you saw New Orleans do with Taysom Hill, and mold Scatterbowl into Taysom Hill. He's that guy, if that makes sense.
I can see that. He's a football player.
Yeah.
He's just a football player, man. So I'm not sure how deep Dabble goes in the bag. He's not really a play caller. I've seen him do a lot of tricks and things of that nature. But with this weapon, who knows? You know what I'm saying? Who knows? And maybe let's see if he can be that on this level. You know what I'm saying? So playing on the college level and in that division he was playing in, and playing in the NFC East is two different levels, right? So let's see.
True.
If that stuff even gets off on this level, right? Because you could be a bully over there with them kids.
That's true.
But nah, these are men over here. You know what I'm saying? So you got 320-pound DTs running 4.7s. So it's like, let's see what happens.
Yeah, you're not wrong there either. Definitely not wrong there. Any other insights or things to think about as it pertains to the Giants before we go ahead and move along to the Washington Commanders?
No, I think as far as their skill positions, I don't think anybody else is really worth a mention.
Well, we know who the quarterback is for the Commanders. Not a whole lot to talk about there. He's a stud, and I don't see that changing. He's adaptable. I think, unlike several quarterbacks previous to him that have a sophomore slump, I believe he either stays right where he is or possibly gets better, just depending on how things progress with the pieces around him. But right now, his number one wide receiver, Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. Noah Brown is number two, and his slot receiver is Deebo Samuel, which we know Deebo is kind of a Swiss Army knife, but he is in the depth chart considered to be the slot receiver. As far as tight end is concerned, Zach Ertz is still there. They have John Bates, and then they also have their running back, Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Eckler, and Jeremy Nichols. So what's the outlook as far as Washington is concerned? Do you think the moves that they made this offseason helped them take a step forward? Two of those moves being getting Deebo Samuel and then also getting Laremy Tunsil, the stud there at left tackle, making sure that their quarterback is going to be upright and breathing. I don't know that people understand how big of a deal that is to upgrade at that spot and what that also frees up along your line now that you have that guy available to you at left tackle. But what are your overall thoughts as far as, I guess, let's start with the passing game and the pass catchers?
Man, I think when it comes to your boy, Terry McLaurin, it's, you know, business as usual. If you love him last year, you're going to love him this year. I mean, it's another year with this quarterback. The chemistry is there. We see what he can do. I think he goes nothing but up from here. The thing I'm more curious about is Deebo Samuel. Because you speak about that Swiss Army knife, and he is that. Now, he has one of the better play callers in his league. He got a new toy, and let's see how he used this toy. I think from 20 to 20, he could be dangerous. We already know, man, from anywhere on the field, Deebo can hit his head on the goalpost. He's a yak guy. Maybe we're going to see some their backfield. And that's another thing also as well. Their backfield is not as solid as you would think. And Deebo,
I agree.
And Deebo coming to town can be extremely beneficial from him receiving some backfield snaps. So I'm pretty sure he's going to do a little bit of that as well over here. So if you like Deebo and Shanahan's offense, I think you'll like him in this one as well. I think Deebo.
Also, just to piggyback on something you just said.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Washington isn't done adding to the backfield, because there are going to be some notable guys after June 1st, to your point earlier, are going to be let go. And normally they are running backs that should be on somebody's team. So there's some guys out there right now that should be on somebody's team. So I knowing Eckler's injury history, and Robinson is a great first down running back, doesn't have soft hands, and you just kind of need that second gear. Deebo does help there. Don't want to wear him out.
Yeah,
I would grab one of the guys. You know who might be able to revive their career in Washington? Not saying that he maybe he could start depending on what happened, but you know who has a chance of being cut? Damian Pierce. Still kind of young.
Nah.
He's coming off that injury. I believe that his skill set, it would fit. He has the ability to run the ball, the ability to catch the ball, the ability to have that little wiggle, if you will. I think someone like him getting another chance, if they were going to go for the gusto, go ahead and make a trade with Buffalo. They have a disgruntled running back. You have money and picks or whatever the case may be, make it shake. But that's the one position right now on their offense that I can say, because you need everyone there to be your running game, that also means that if anyone gets hurt, and that's a position that tends to happen at quite a bit, that you're going to be lackluster in the running game after that. So I would kind of maybe dig a little bit deeper as far as that is concerned.
I'll tell you one thing that we're missing, and you're probably going to hear more about this guy as we get closer to the season and things of that nature. But don't sleep on the rookie Jacory Krauski Merritt that they drafted. He's a guy that could maybe challenge for early on snaps. I know a lot of people not familiar with him. Get familiar. His name is Jacory Krauski Merritt. So you get opportunity, go check this guy out. especially in the Dynasty League, he'll be a guy to own. Again, we talked about this on the show many moons ago, and I was saying there's certain teams I wanted to see what running back they draft in the draft, and this is one of the teams. And now you're seeing, because think about it, Brian Robinson, those guys were inherited. So now when the OC comes in and he picks his guy, no different than, and I don't move too far ahead, but you see Ben Johnson in Chicago, you know, he drafted a running back. You already got two running backs in the building, you go pick one. We see down there in Jacksonville, two running backs in the building, I pick one. So when you see two running backs in the building and the OC comes in and pick his own guy, you want, that's a flag. And it's not a real. So Jacory Krauski-Merritt is a name that you want to get familiar with. I think he can actually challenge for that RB2 spot early out the gate. Austin Eckler, shout out to you. You know what I'm saying? A couple of your guys. And Robinson, they better get on it, because this guy's coming. Again, late drafted running back, but he fits the skill set of what these guys really want to do in their backfield. So he will be a guy that keep your eyes peeled on that.
Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Jacory or Javonta?
Jacory. I just don't like Javonta. I just think Javonta's in a situation where, again, a running back was drafted. Now, even though he's on a new team and they brought him in, they still said, hey, let's go pick a guy as well.
You see what I just did there? You see how I set you up with that? You see how I did it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I think when you go get now, if you say Javonta, if you say Jacory or Jaden Blue, that's a whole different ballgame, right?
Okay. Okay. So Jacory or Jaden?
I think Jaden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll end up taking over his backfield before Jacory will?
That's why I say Jaden, yeah.
Okay.
I think he can take over a lot sooner. Now, I think Jacory can definitely go on a lobby for snaps early. But I think Jaden can actually just manhandle that backfield and say, okay, I'm here. It's mine. You know what I'm saying? Just being because he's probably the best running back in the room. So, but there's a couple of guys, the guy in Chicago, the guy in Jacksonville, and the guy in Washington. Look at those three teams and who those guys drafted, and then these would be some of your targets, especially in the Dynasty League, for sure. Easily.
And are there any other...
Maybe Zach Ertz, the old man with the cold hand, you know what I'm saying? Don't forget about him, because he's reliable. He's old, but he's like that 1970 Buick Electra, that deuce and a quarter your grandma had. It's made out of steel. And guess what? Right now, today, we go out on this road, and that 1970 Buick hit your Dodge Challenger, your shit might be total. And that Buick may be going home with
that
a squirt.
That Buick going to get back home. I'm going to tell you that right now.
You know what I'm saying? So I would say that's Zach Ertz. He's old, reliable. We've seen him and Jaden have this chemistry in the red zone. So he's looking for Zach. That whole Ben Sinat and all these guys coming up, nah.
I was just about to ask you about Sinat.
Nah, they haven't been challenging the throne at all.
Let me ask you this, though. I know with tight end, it's one of those positions that they normally say it's a little bit more difficult to come right in and be dominant in, unless all you're attempting to do is catch the ball and not actually fulfill the full duty of a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that Sinat being in his second year kind of takes that leap? And at some point in time, Zach Ertz is going to be hurt. Like, hopefully it'll just be a game or two versus being long-term, but at some point in time, he's going to be hurt.
Well, I mean, not necessarily, because you said it's Ben's second year. What year is it for Ertz? It ain't his second. He's been around, he's been with this guy in Arizona. So he has a whole bigger grasp on his offense. You see what I'm saying? That's why they brought him back. He's still like, he can just keep on ticking. Again, I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, Brock Bowers or something, but if you're looking for maybe close to, you know, 8+ touchdowns, 400-500 yards or so, 600 yards, Zach Ertz can do that. Again, if you watch Commanders games, when they get in the red zone, he is looking for this guy because the field's getting shorter now. So you're not seeing Terry McLaurin getting the ball down here. It's a shorter field. He's going to the big boys. And Zach Ertz is a big boy.
He's one of those guys that I go after if I miss the sweet spot at tight end.
Yeah.
I'm not going too high at tight end in the draft.
No.
And once you get past certain tight ends, it don't make sense to draft them instead of waiting until the very end because their floor and ceilings are pretty much the same. So he's one of those guys that when you get to the back end but can put up top eight tight end numbers on a year and top three tight end numbers on any given week. So, you know.
It's crazy, right? You look at the last game against the Philadelphia Eagles, that game. He had 18 targets. The old man with the cold hand, 18 targets. He finished number 7 at all tight ends. Who would think a 35-year-old, a 34-year-old tight end would finish that when the season started? Like you said, he was absolutely free. And if you go look at the end results, he's in front of some of your favorite guys. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to do a lot, but he's not going to do a little. He's going to be steady Eddie. You know what you're going to get. And if you're going zero tight end, I think he's a perfect piece you could throw in there because it's going to be some weeks that he outscore the LaPortas of the world, the McBrides of the world. It's going to be some weeks that he's up there and they spent a higher draft pick than you did and you got this guy for nothing.
To your point, Sam LaPorta was tight end 8 on the year. Zach Ertz was tight end 7.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Now, guess what?
And Sam LaPorta, you would have probably had to draft in the 3rd round, something like that.
If not earlier, 2nd. LaPorta was going, because think about it, he had the year before.
Yeah.
LaPorta was going early. In front of, he's the first tight end drafted. Was he not? Yeah. He was the first tight end off the board, which is usually a 2nd round pick. Zach Ertz, undrafted.
Free.
He finished ahead of him.
Free.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, even if you're in a tight spot in Dynasty, it's okay to have a 1-year fill-in and then just know that that's a spot that you need to address in years going forward. But one bit of advice that I would give some of my Dynasty owners out there, don't get so bougie that you look so deep at age that you're not willing to take weekly points because of how old someone is and they might have 2-3 more years left. And you can get them from – you can get Zach Ertz either on your waivers or for a 2028 third-round pick right now. I'm pretty sure one of the two will be just fine. If you don't have a tight end, well, if a top 7 tight end for almost free is appealing to you, go that route.
Yeah.
Maybe there are a couple other guys that are in the same ilk that are getting on up there, but look at how they're utilized and kind of go from there. Anything else stands out to you about the Commanders before we go ahead and wrap it up for today?
Not at all. Again, the guy that got the boost is Jaden Daniels. If anybody, he boosted any higher, he did with some of the offseason accurate moves that they made. So,
well, next week, you want to stay in the NFC or go ahead and move over to the AFC and kind of flip flop back and forth?
You didn't speak on the if we stay in the NFC East.
Well, we got the NFC East covered with the Cowboys and Eagles last week, and then today with the Giants and the Commanders. So we can either, I guess we can stay in the NFC. I kind of want to move over to the, let's move on over to the NFC West for next week. We'll tackle 2 teams and then go from there. We got time to break it all down and make sure that you understand the fantasy prognosis for all of your favorite players and for some of the players that should be your favorites, but you don't quite know about them yet. That's a great spot to be in because if you don't, a lot of other people don't either, and you can hop on board before.
You just learn a new one tonight.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So that's what we're here for. Make sure you guys know ahead of time so you don't have to pay the premium price. You can pay the today price and then sell them later on down the line for what tomorrow's price is going to be.
Right.
And guys, remember, again, we are on YouTube and on Facebook. On YouTube at The Gospel SCP. On Facebook, The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. And always, tell the truth, nothing but the truth. We out.